You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
How do you care for people during Christmas? It can be a joyous time, and it can also be a stressful time. And with the intensity of human interactions that we have around Christmas and the holidays, it's a good thing to wonder, how can we be as caring as possible to people during Christmas? For the next four sermons, we will be exploring this question. We will be using wisdom from the Bible and using contemporary research on emotional intelligence. I invite you to listen and be a part of this exploration. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, we ask that you would guide and bless this exploration of how we can be caring during Christmas. We know that we are constantly distracted, even from our own feelings. But you know how we feel. You know that we can be happy. And so we ask your help that we would know how we feel. Amen. We live in an age of constant distraction. There are so many things out there that compete for our attention, so that it is easy to indulge these things and distract ourselves from one thing to the next. Just think of social media and other kinds of media. Electronics are a fabulous distraction from when we have something important to do. There are other forms of distraction as well, hobbies, and then there are even more unhealthy or unhelpful distractions like drugs or alcohol. All of these things, however, we might use in different ways, whether they're healthy or not, to distract ourselves from feeling some of the feelings that we experience in life and that can happen during the holidays. One example of being distracted from our own feelings and things that are important comes to us in the story of Noah. Now, Noah is a person in the Hebrew Bible, in the book of Genesis. And during the time of Noah, people treated each other in a very unkind and uncivilized way. You can imagine the world being full of chaos, violence, theft, and unethical behavior. And so the story goes, according to Genesis, God was unhappy and God wanted to destroy the earth with a flood. But God warned Noah and God instructed Noah to build an ark to preserve life. Now you can imagine that as Noah built the ark and people asked him what he was doing, word would have got out and about that this flood apparently was something that Noah anticipated. You know, but rather than taking Noah seriously, rather than reflecting on their own behavior, at that time, people just distracted themselves. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, "For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. The truth is that we distract ourselves from what is most important in our lives. And one of the things we distract ourselves from the most is our own feelings. The people in Noah's day didn't want to deal with the feelings of guilt and remorse for their behavior. But thanks be to God, Noah was open to God's message, and Noah indeed built the ark and preserved life. But Noah wasn't a perfect human being. After he endured the flood and survived and preserved life, and after the waters subsided and the ark rested and the people and the animals were able to come out, one of the first things that Noah did was he got drunk. He got intoxicated from alcohol. And it was an embarrassment to him and his family. But if you think about it, you can understand why that might have happened. Noah had experienced trauma. He had witnessed an unprecedented amount of suffering and death when the flood occurred. And though he must have been thankful that his life was spared and that of his family, no doubt he was traumatized by the whole experience. In that moment after the flood, Noah was desperate to distract himself from intense feelings and emotions. The same thing is true for many human beings. Each person has experienced difficult things in their life, and some have even experienced traumatic events. And one of the things that we do is we distract ourselves from dealing with our feelings because they are challenging. The thing is, though, no matter how long we try to distract ourselves and not deal with our feelings, God does know how we feel. In our reading today from Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about his coming back into the world. And in fact, it is traditional on this first Sunday of Advent to reflect upon Jesus' promise to come back to earth. Sometimes this is called the second coming. And one of the ways that we can understand Jesus coming back is the way that each and every person can experience a very real presence of Jesus in their life. It's what we call in the evangelical tradition, God coming into our hearts. And when Jesus comes into our heart, he's going to know the things that we feel. Jesus said this about himself in Matthew chapter 24. He said, "But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into." You know, sometimes when we read this, it might seem to us strange that Jesus would compare himself to a thief, to someone that would break into a house. But the thing that they have in common is that you don't know when a thief will break into a house. And if you did, you might stay up and be prepared. We also don't know when God comes into our heart in a powerful way. Thieves let themselves into the most personal, private areas of our lives, and God also knows the most personal and private parts of our life. But the difference is, while a thief comes to steal and destroy, God comes to heal and help. And if it's possible that Jesus enters into our heart at unexpected times, when he shows up, Jesus is God's love. And so we have God's love in our heart. You can even think about it that a thief comes to steal possessions, but Jesus comes in a way to steal our hearts and also to help us deal with our feelings. Some experts in emotional intelligence have argued that happiness is our default setting. If you were to say it in Christian terms, you would say that when God made us and built us and created us, God made our hearts and our minds built to be happy most of the time, to be reasonably happy, as some traditions say. And that no matter what you're going through, you may not feel happy all the time, but happiness is within reach. Maybe this is what the psalmist was referring to in Psalm 122 that we read, that says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' And may peace be within your walls and security within your towers." There's a sense in which the psalmist prays for peace and gladness in the city of Jerusalem, but that same peace and gladness can fill our heart and our mind and our soul. And if Jesus is the one that gives us this gladness and joy, and Jesus could come into our heart at any moment, then that gladness can be ours. So the question is, how do we feel that joy and that gladness? Well, an important thing to realize is that we probably don't feel happy all the time, I would guess. I know that I don't feel happy 100% of the time. I have other feelings too. But the thing is, in order to feel happiness, we have to open ourselves to feelings in general. If we're constantly distracting ourselves and not allowing ourselves to feel, then we're not going to feel anything, not happiness or sadness. And so if we want to open up our hearts to joy and happiness, we have to realize that there are other feelings we're going to feel too. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Emotions and feelings are powerful. They inform us on how to act and how to behave. They help us be aware of things happening around us when we may not cognitively pick up on them. But in order to tap into the power of our feelings, we have to be able to observe how we are feeling and to name it. One trick that I've picked up in being able to name my own feelings is to think of my mind. I'm kind of old school, right? My mind, in many ways, thinks before we had mobile devices. And I had a roommate in college that had a poster, and on the poster it said, "How do you feel today?" And the whole poster was filled with different, what we call now, emojis. They were smiley faces, just your round face, with different feelings on the whole poster. You might have seen that. They make t-shirts about them. They make magnets you can put on your fridge. And now, of course, we have the emoji icons on our phones and tablets and computers. Well, the trick I learned is simply just to think about different faces, emoji faces, until one comes across your field of vision or your mind's eye that is how you're feeling. And when you see that, you kind of feel it click, right? And then you can name it. Name what you're feeling. Is it joy? Is it sadness? Is it anger? And when you can name it, you can deal with it. When we are able to be aware of our feelings, we open the door to God coming in and giving us joy. And especially if we want to be caring toward people, if we want to be able to deal with people in the most caring way, the first step we have to do is care for ourselves. We have to be aware of how we are feeling in the moment. And once we're aware of how we are feeling, then we can begin to think about how we deal with it. And that's what we will talk about next week. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for coming into our hearts, for giving us peace, love, and joy. We thank you for all of our feelings, even the ones that are more difficult because they have a purpose too. We ask that you would give us the courage and strength to be able to feel, to name our emotions, and to trust that you will help us deal with each and every one so that we can be more caring toward ourselves and others. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.